Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I'll stand, if you stand close up to the microphone here, the girls at the left of me, I'll stand in the middle of you guys and get to the streets. We did it yesterday coming into Wisconsin. Everywhere I go, we've done this in Africa, Ukraine, different places. Wherever I go, I like to sing this song. It's our version of Edelweiss. Okay?
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, should not perish. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, but they that
the King James Bible is so easy to put to music. It's the way it's written, the solemn style. It keeps a certain rhythm to it, and they did it on purpose to keep with the Hebrew and with the Greek. And solemn style, which is Koine Greek. You can say Koine Greek, but that really doesn't carry it. It's the solemn style, Koine Greek. And it's the solemn Hebrew of the day. That's how God wrote it. It's God's word. Amen? And the King James translator said, we will maintain that. That's why these newer versions, I don't know where you stand on all that stuff, but the newer versions, they don't carry some of the solemn style. They actually corrupt the solemn style. And that's why we would hold to that. And it's very easy to put it to music, though. I can tell you, King James text is extremely easy to do that. I'll sing another one for you. This is a Russian song. The thought is from Russia. The verse is from the Bible. The music is from Russia. Amos 8, 11 and 12.
Behold, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Of hearing the words of the Lord, of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord. They shall run to and fro, and shall not find it, and shall not find it.
I like doing that because I've been putting scripture to music since I was 19 years of age, I guess. And so we try to find things here and there, and we do several. And the reason I do it is because I am a third seat, third trombone player. I'm the worst musician in this group, if you haven't figured it out yet. But the third seat, third trombone player works very hard to get in his position. You know what he does to become a third seat, third trombone player? He doesn't take his instrument home. He doesn't practice. He leaves it there and he gets humiliated because the teacher puts him in the third seat. But see, it's not just the third seat. It's the third seat, third trombone. That means I'm the last of the third trombone. I'm at the very end of the whole group. But when my heart got right with God, I said, I'll take whatever's in my hand. And I began to work way back then with the little music I had. And said, I'll do it for my family altar. So almost all these songs originally started as a family altar. And then we developed it from there. And then I brought them into the church or worked with Russian immigrants and different people like that. And the reason I say that to you is my challenge has been through the years. If you got a little bit of ability, you should take good music, and you have to know what good music is, and apply it to the scriptures. One thing, you want God's word to have the highest caliber of music. I mean, you might go around singing in your house, had a little monkey, took him to the country, fed him on milk and bread. But it's another thing to come to church and sing that, right? So what I'm saying is take the scriptures and put it to good music. Sing it and teach your children that if you can. If not, learn it from somebody else. Mine's very simple because I'm a simple musician. And I would encourage you to carry that on in your life. If you got a little bit of musical talent, do it. Borrow it from somebody else if not. Micah 6:8, though, where we started out with, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We've got a pretty big requirement there. God says, He hath showed the old man what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Do you understand that little word, thee? What does thee mean? Why doesn't it say He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of ye? Why does He use thee? And He could have changed that. He could have said ye with man, which is singular. Why does He say thee instead of ye? You believe in an every word Bible, right? For man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. Why is that thee there? Oratory used to talk about revival, and he says, draw a circle, sir, and then step right in the middle of that circle. He said, that's where revival will always begin. It's not with other people around you. It has to begin with you and you alone. And I'll say to us today, when it comes to forgiveness, we can't be hoping for others to get things right. We've got to start with ourselves. And that's what this whole, when we're dealing with these series here, we're starting individually with you. I cannot be as much concerned about the offender. Because can you make the offender come to you and apologize? No. He has a free will. And if we make him, does he really seek true forgiveness? Right? But you, as an individual, if we draw the circle and put you in that, you can have victory. And so please don't misunderstand me and some of the things we're doing. We're not trying to say the offender is not guilty. As I said before, every man that dies and goes to hell, he goes to hell, not because God did not reach out for him, but because he did not come to be saved. He himself made that choice, not to be forgiven or neglected it. But when God Almighty comes to save you, for whosoever, right, he calls everybody. However, he doesn't force anybody. And so I want to remind you of that as we talk about this today. If we're going to get this forgiveness, we've got to deal with ourselves. Amen? Individual. Right where you're sitting. Don't say, boy, I sure hope my children get this. Oh, I hope my wife gets this. Oh, I hope my husband grabs a hold of this. Oh, I hope the preacher gets this. Oh, I hope the people get this. It's each of us individually. Okay? So please take that to heart right now. It's right in your lap. It's in your hand. Years ago, a couple little Chinese boys was going to play a trick on the old wise man of the village. So he went out and they caught a little bird in their hand, and they took it and they hid it behind their back, and they said, "Old man, what do we have in our hand and our back?" And he said, "You have a little bird." They said to him, "Sir, is the bird dead or alive?" And the old wise man said, "As you will." Because see, what the point was, they said, "If he says it's alive, I'll squish it. If he says it's dead, I'll hold it and let it go free." But the old wise man said, "As you will. It's your choice." It's your choice today. As we're dealing with this about forgiveness, if you want to enter into that, don't think about the other people that need this. Don't think about, "Oh, this will be good for so-and-so." Folks, it's good for us all. I thought I reached a high level of forgiveness, and I don't want to teach. I didn't want to teach on it. I didn't want to go to Africa last year and teach in Glenvar, in their school there, Brother Daniel's school where he went to. I didn't want to do that. I really didn't. I tried my best to talk everybody out of it and wait to the last moment to buy tickets. More expensive when you do it that way. And I tried everything I could not to go. I didn't buy my tickets to July. And oh boy, I wanted to stay back. The boys could go, others. I didn't care about the children if they went, but I didn't want to go. But I go there and I try to give time of getting my mind prepared, because I do not, even this meeting here, I prefer to realize that God tailor makes every message. Do you all believe in bologna sausage preaching? Where's Noah? Bologna. It's the same in California as it is in New York City, right? I don't want to give you a bunch of pre-prepared stuff. I prepared this stuff, but at the same time, I'm saying, "Lord, what do you have for us here today?" Because God is the God of the right now, not of yesterday and not even of tomorrow, though He's been in both places, right? So right now we need something today. And as I was there in Glenvar dealing with that, I came home and lo and behold, problems in the church. I was gone 40 days. Moses was gone 40 days. Always a mistake, Brother Tim. If you go 39. 40 days. I came back. There was, oh my. I didn't realize the trouble. I didn't find the trouble at first. It didn't show up till about December. And I thought for sure, that, once it broke out, the first thought I had was, God is taking me to a different level of forgiveness. And this past year, and the reason I say this is, if you think you have a handle on forgiveness, God is going to take you to another level. There's people out there, and I don't want you to get frightened over this, but I do want you to expect something. That if you're sitting comfortable in forgiveness right now, next week's a coming. So keep that in mind. Next week is a coming. But if you're not comfortable and you're struggling today with the areas of forgiveness, you're having problems with forgiveness today, can I tell you this? There's hope from the God of hope that you can have help if you want it. And it won't be tomorrow, you can have it today. If you came in with a burden today, you can walk out without that burden. You don't have to wait. And by the way, you don't have to wait till tomorrow night at the last service. Okay, tomorrow night's the answer. No, it's not. I'm not the answer. Tim Hargett's not the answer. The Word of God has the answer. And it's a simple faith in that Word. And we have an every word book. And the every word book says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee individually." It's a single thing. To do justly. And to love. Love. Mercy. Do you love mercy? When the Twin Towers fell in New York City, did your heart say, "Good, we deserve that"? Some Christians did say that, you know. Some Christian says, "Yes, America is getting back its due." Isn't it strange that Jesus said that Tyre fell upon those people there in Luke chapter 13? He said, "Suppose ye they were sinners above all?" And he turns it around. He says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. See, there were the guys who said, yeah, the tires got them. Luke 13, read it. Remember the two disciples, the sons of thunder? Remember them? And remember they're coming by and Jesus set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem? And as he set his face like a flint and they didn't receive him because he was walking by like he wasn't paying attention because Jesus was focused on the ministry. He could not stop. He was moving straight ahead. And he says, let us call fire out of heaven. Remember that? And Jesus said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. Remember those words? Sure, America deserves judgment. Brother Tim, how many children do you have? Five children. He's young, so you'll catch up with me, I'm sure. I had 10. And they're not easy to bring up. As you look down the road and you see your children coming up, you love it. How many girls do you have? Two girls. The same place I was. I had three boys, two girls. Ended up with six boys and four girls. Can I tell you something? I don't want judgment to fall upon them. I look around here. I don't want judgment to fall upon you. You know why? Oh, America deserves the judgment. We're under a type of judgment. We can go and accept that, right? But can I tell you? We need to get our mind on His mercy and plead for mercy. In wrath, remember what? What does the Scripture say? In wrath, remember? Anybody know? Mercy. Because if we get wrapped up, do you know what the judgment of God means on the land? Do you know what happened in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917? Did you ever read what took place? Do you ever read what the spoils of war is? Timothy and Jana, two of my children with me, come here. I'm an old man. The spoil of war for me. They may leave me behind, put me in some place, or because I'm a pastor or a preacher, they may put me in prison someplace. If we have a war and our place begins to collapse or whatever, and judgment begins to fall, God sends another nation to judge us and let everything topple. I'm going to be dealt with in a certain way and probably quickly. He's 17 years old. The first thing they're going to do to him is they're going to put him in a position, they're going to do their best to break him to whatever philosophy they have, if they can. And if not, he's going to be dead. They're not going to play it around. If he yields, he can go with them. He can live. And this little girl right here, I'm not even going to tell you what they're going to do to her. And that's what happens when we say, let judgment fall. You better read what judgment is. Because folks, the worst thing about warfare and a judgment brought in by the warriors from other countries is that the women become their spoil. That's what motivates a lot of wars. You look behind, that's what motivates a lot of men to defend their country. That make a non-resistant think twice and begin to think, maybe I should be a resistant because my wife is going to become prey to another man and they don't care. My daughters are going to be violated. And you can't do anything about it. So next time, see, God is a good and a holy God. And God says, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly. That's a good balance. That doesn't mean, aha, caught you, you evil one. No. And then He says, the love mercy. When I was young, I prayed like James and John. Let's call fire out of heaven. God, we need judgment. As I got older and began to understand what it's all about, and a couple of brothers through Vietnam, or one brother through Vietnam, another brother had been involved in the couple of the Mideastern conflicts and wars there. Thank you, Timothy and Jana. Folks, we need to love mercy. Our land today, if we ever need mercy right now. Now, there's a way to get that mercy. And the way to get that mercy is not expecting our president to bow to God, or the Congress to bow to God, or the Senate to bow to God, or your governor and his state bow to God, what God says, I require of thee, his child, his believer, his one, that you will do justly, and that you will love mercy, and that you will walk humbly with thy God. He doesn't require that of President Obama. He requires that of Tim Hargett. He requires that of each of you. And the doctrine of forgiveness falls under that beautiful umbrella of mercy. Do you love mercy? Do you really love mercy? If you understand that doctrine of forgiveness, you understand, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world. That little word so, S-O, Jonathan, so, is an infinitive word, which means you cannot put a limit on it. It's like He so loved the world. Dot, you mathematicians, goes like that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. How can you explain that so? The songwriter says, if he could, the love of God in the song, the love of God. He says, if what? If all a stalk on earth a quill, and all the men ascribed by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. I mean, think of this love, and it begins right here with us. Jesus said, and you say, preacher, you want those love... Listen, I want you to get to the point where you... We've got to get to the place where God is. And God wants us to love one another. To edify, to build, to strengthen, to encourage. It's not in your face Christianity. Oh yes, we've got to deal, we've got to work. And you know, I understand there's conflicts. I've got those conflicts. I understand those. I have children and grandchildren now coming through. And I've got, brothers, and I've got conflict in my family. I understand that. But I don't have to live in defeat because of that. Do you? Do you? Now, let's look at something and consider it. Look, if you would, please, at these verses. We'll try to travel. We'll travel pretty quick. This is... There's two words we're going to look at three times in the New Testament. Those words should trouble you. They trouble me. They trouble me because it's a big requirement. Look, if you would, please, at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 32. Matthew 18, verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him. Matthew 18, 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant? What's the next two words? What do you read? Everybody. Even as I had pity on thee. We said, but this is the illustration. But notice what he says in explaining the illustration. And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father. He's making a comparison of what the heavenly Father is like. And he says, even as I had pity. We understand how the Father has had pity. Even as. You know what the word even as means? Well, the two words there. To the same degree. To the same degree that God forgave you, brother. You're to forgive. To the same degree that God forgave you, sister, you're to forgive. To the same degree. Think of that. That's a high calling. To the same, even as. We were discussing Matthew 18 because a lot of people mishandle these things about the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let every word be established, right? Brother Tim, you have that awesome responsibility of being shot at here, I think. You're the pastor or one of the main speakers, right? Leader here. Let me tell you something about an elder, according to Timothy. If he does something that's awry, according to this brother right here, would you mind helping me for a moment? Can I scare you for a second? Come on up here. Okay. So, what's your name?
Noah.
Noah. Two Noahs in the same building at the same time. The floods are coming. Okay. Noah, you see something, Pastor, that you didn't like. Maybe it's the way he, let's say, you know what? He jerked his child up one time. I don't like the way he's doing it. I think he's abusing his family. Now, people think that way, you know? So here he is. He's looking. He's thinking. Whatever. Critical. So he goes and he says to Brandon. You're one of the men around here, right, Brother Brandon? And so he tells him, I don't like the way Brother Kajerski's doing things around here. I saw him mishandle one of his children. What are you supposed to do? If you do that, shame, shame, shame. You better read 1 Timothy 5:19. Because 1 Timothy 5:19 tells you you're not even supposed to listen to this guy unless he's got two witnesses. That's what it says. Because God's trying to protect those in authority, and God's trying to protect everybody. He'll protect this man. Because if you listen to it, and the rest of it, if you listen to some preacher talk on Sunday afternoons when they like to cook us up, you know, after the Sunday morning messages, or after whatever, you listen to that, can I tell you something? You're a partaker of evil deeds. No joke. I'm not trying to... Brother Timothy didn't pay me to say this. This is for everybody. If it's him or whoever else. Because God... So Noah, you're a bad boy. Shame on you. You're going to talk about the preacher like that? Did anybody else see him do that? You don't even know. I said, that's the problem. Because see, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses. That's Old Testament law, right? Deuteronomy. But it's also New Testament law, isn't it? One thing Paul says, as he says it twice in Corinthians there, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. In Galatians there, I believe, he comes back. In Timothy, he says the same thing here in 1 Timothy 5:19. And it also says the same thing in Matthew 18. Then you take a witness. If he doesn't hear, if he goes privately, says, I don't think you should do it, but you're supposed to take a witness. In other words, if you just saw it, you could have misunderstood what he did in the first place. Because sometimes, maybe he's picked him up because he saw a spider over there. You don't know. You don't know why he pulled him over like that. And so God protects people that way, and he protects everybody in this room the same way. The mouth of two or three witnesses. But think about that. That's a protection for you. How many of us go off of one witness? You have any tattletales in your family? Are you the tattletale? I didn't think so. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, right? Sorry, Noah. You shouldn't have come. No, I'm glad you came up here. Okay. There's some tattletales in your family? Sure. Those tattletales, do they usually have two witnesses? No. And parents, learn that little thing. It's good to learn not to ask questions unless you have the answer already. Because if you start asking questions, parents, I mean, I'm talking about when you're going to put them on the hot seat, before you give them the hot seat, you know. When you're going to put them on the hot seat, try your best to have the answers ahead of time. So when they see that you're a just judge, because that's what a just person would do. It's not always easy. And don't try to call their bluff, they'll call yours sometimes. You've got to be careful there. Thank you, Noah. We're talking about love and mercy now, even as God. And God says one of the things to protect you, he uses two or three witnesses. You keep that in mind, okay? Because that's in the forgiveness passages too. But that's another angle. I just wanted to say that because that was a good question that Brother Ezra and I crossed over indirectly today already. I just want to give that one to you. That's free, okay? The rest of it is too. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Ephesians 4:31, now verse 32. Read it with me. Ready? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Oh no. We've got a second witness. Oh, one witness is in Matthew. Next witness here in Ephesians. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But God knows that some of you are skeptical. You have some I found skeptics among Christians. Have you found that? They said in Matthew 18, it didn't directly say God. It said the Lord of that servant. He knew there's people like you out there, so he gave you a third witness. He didn't stop with just two. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, what's the next two words? Even as what? Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Three witnesses that you and I are supposed to forgive as God forgives. Do you forgive that way? Do you forgive like God forgives? Do you know how God forgives? I asked myself when I was meditating through this, I said, well, how does God forgive? Turn, if you would, please, to 1 John 1:9, if you like. If you'll turn there, 1 John 1:9, to the believer, to you, his, what does he say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Someone says there, well, see, God says if you confess them. Only difference with God is God telling you to confess to him, right? I saw those black shirts up here a few minutes ago. Did you think of anything, Aaron, with those four black shirts up here? Did it pass your mind? Two cowboy shirts on the outside. But Aaron and I used to have a black shirt group. Four of us usually would go out on Saturdays with all black shirts in the Scranton area. Scranton was 90% Catholic at one time. Jesuit University, Scranton University is a Jesuit university. It was amazed. We were pretty well accepted in the black shirts, weren't we? Some thought we was a SWAT team at first, but once they got over that, they realized we were priests. You wouldn't believe Saturday nights, you know, they had the 5:30 masses and so on in our area. And I'm going through the grocery stores at 6:30 and 7. How you doing today? I never got that when I dressed like a regular Christian. But when I put myself in all black, I looked like Father Tim. And if they ever called me Father, that would be perfectly correct because I have 10 children. But those days as we go out and I would understand that. I'm going to tell you, folks, there's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, right? There's somebody you take your confessions to. We've got this lady in our church. I won't tell you her name, but Aaron knows her quite well. She gave birth to him. And I'm always teasing her because I'll say something like this. Make sure she hears this because I don't want to say anything behind her back, okay? So call her and say, Brother Tim said something. Then she'll be nervous for the next week. I know her. But she'll say something. I say, I take confessions 5:30 on Saturday afternoons, not until. We have a couple doors in our church. You've been there, Brother Tim. And a couple doors, they actually have holes in the bottom. Almost like the confessional. It was a little higher, ours was a little lower. So I said, just come stand outside the door, I'll listen to you on the other side. Teasing her, folks. I'm just joking. The confessions that we have, you confess your sins to him. And how does he forgive you? First of all, he's faithful. You take it to him with your sincerity, he's going to forgive you, brother, isn't he? Every time. You go to God, and by the way, You never get a business signal from God. He can handle any overloads. You can call all at one time. He can take you individually. Think of that. Personal attention. He is faithful. Number two, He is just. Just. In His justice, He sees faithful and just to forgive. Not to say, I don't like the way you said it. Some of the guys come through, and folks, I have to understand, I used to be involved with a very aggressive soul-winning program. Bow your head and pray this prayer and all this stuff. I became quite a salesman at it. And I won't go into all the details. Brother Keith says I need to preach this around and talk about it a lot because there's so many misunderstandings in this area of evangelism. But I'm going to tell you something. Bowing your head and praying your prayer is not going to make you a Christian, okay? I used to be involved with a very aggressive soul-winning program and soul-winning type things. The Bible says He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And what I want to say with that is, brothers, sisters, you go to God, you ask Him to forgive you. He is just, He is going to forgive you. He's promised to. This is justice. And it's not bowing our head and praying a prayer, but it is sincerity. And some people come to you and they say, if you didn't say it this way or that way, you're not really saved or you're not really sincere. I've been in Ukraine. I see them get on their knees like this and pray. And their preachers are saying they're confessing their sins to a microphone. As they confess their sins to a microphone, and if they're not crying, their preachers can tell them, no good! Why? We don't see enough sincerity. Isn't that awful? You didn't confess everything. All the dirty laundry has to come out. Folks, that's not what God's dealing with there to us. If you didn't say it the right way, God's not going to... He's just... He sees that sincere heart, and He sees how much faith you have to come before Him. I was reading a very famous preacher back in 1995 of the last century, extremely famous. Probably everybody in this room would know him if I called his name out. He was talking about what type of faith does it take to have to be saved? How much faith does it take? And he said there was a man that there was a bridge over this chasm. The bridge was kind of rickety. And he said one guy came through and he just kind of ran across the bridge. No problem. Old rickety bridge, wire or ropes on the side, you know, hanging over the chasm. He said the next man came along and as he approached the bridge, he looked at it, assessed what type of bridge it was. And he walked across carefully, but he walked on across the bridge. He said there came a third man along, and as he came, he stopped and he checked the bridge out too, going over the chasm, looked down, saw the dangers below. As he walked, he grabbed a hold of the ropes along the side and he walked carefully, but he went across to the other side. He said a next man came along, and as he saw it, he was quite scared of it, but he wanted to go across to the other side, and he too got on there and shaking almost all the way, he made it to the other side. So finally there came another man along. As he went to the bridge, he stopped. As he looked at it, he said, this is going to be awful hard. And he was so scared, he got down on his belly and he began to crawl across. And he crawled all the way across to the other side. Then the wise preacher said, how many of them made it to the other side? He said, the faith as the grain of a mustard seed can save you. He said every one of them had to have the faith to go across the bridge. He said, if you have faith enough to believe that Jesus Christ can save you, He is the only bridge that can save you. He said, in Christ, not the crawling across or the working across, but trusting Him alone for salvation, no matter how small your faith is. If you can just run across it, praise the Lord. But if you crawl across and just throw yourself on His mercy, thank God. And God says that's the type of forgiveness you're supposed to show. Even as God, for Christ's sake. If we confess our sins, how does God forgive? He forgives in full. Yes, it's conditional. If we confess, and it's through His blood, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood. Not based upon our works, not based upon our merit, but 100% based upon Him. And then how does He forgive? He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Again, His blood, but how does He forgive? It's full. Conditional, yes. Conditional on the part that you come to Him for it. Why does God forgive? Because He's faithful. Because He's just. Because He loves us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And why does He forgive us? Because it's the best for us. Did you know God's not saving you for Himself? He's saving you for yourself. Think about that. He's doing it for you. Oh, yes, but somebody says, well, everything's for the glory of God. I understand the verse. But I've told you before, I don't park myself in Reformed theology. You look at the selfish tenses that's in the New Testament. He says, ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said that in His Word. And every one of those are put into the selfish tense. For yourself, He's saying. You ask for yourself. You seek for yourself. You knock for yourself. He wants that when it comes to you. Because it's best for you that you come to Me. Where's Zachary? Is he around here still? Come here, Zach. I work this guy. He gets overtime pay. He was a murderer this morning. We'll see what he is tonight, okay? Zachary, here. He's walking with me and he's talking with me. He's my friend. He's asking me questions. You know what? Brother Whitaker, I think I'm going to like him. Okay? No, but you know what? Come here, Noah. Now, Noah, over here, Noah. Walk over there. Noah gives me trouble. We know what he thinks about preachers, right? We already found that out earlier. Okay, so I know what he thinks about, but watch this. Go ahead. Let's go. Go ahead. Come on. Walk with me. Come on. Noah, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh. I don't know if y'all can see what's going on here. Let's turn it this way, okay? Here, we're walking straight ahead. Let's go ahead. Now. Hey. You know what? But grab me and put my hand around my waist while you're doing it. I hit him. So. Go ahead. No, hit him. Go ahead. Hit him. Yeah. I got bad news for you. Because he's still trying to get close to me. He's going to still be close to me. You need to be nicer to him. But you know, he'll still be close to me. Because he's working with me. He's trying to be close to me. And what I'm saying is, guys that try to get close to you, they may have some faults. But Brother Tim, I'll guarantee you in your workplace, if they're trying to be a better worker and work harder, even if they got some faults in the way they treat the other employees sometimes, you might get on to them a little bit. But this guy's valuable. Because he is trying to get in tune with you. He's just not getting in tune with him. And you might have to tighten him down a little bit, but he is trying to be in tune with you. What I'm trying to tell you is, folks, you understand what I'm telling you. You start walking with God. And you walk with Him, you talk to Him all the time. Yeah, you've got some fallacies and some problems. God's going to get those kinks out of you. You're going to get it. But I still like you. Okay, thank you, guys. Sorry, Noah, you didn't know He was going to hit you. He gets overtime, he gets combat. Okay. Now, you forgive even as God forgives to the same degree? You walk in the light as He is in the light. You have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. When does God forgive you? When does He forgive you? Brother, what's your first name again? Larry? Is it Larry? Brother? No. What's this brother right here? See, I told you my eyes would confuse you. Well, yes. Dana? Dan. Brother Dan. Don't come up here. I won't bring you up here. I'm just talking to you. He just had a cardiac arrest. EMTs, hurry! Brother Dan, I won't go get you up here. But Brother Dan, tell you what, you confess your sins, and next Sunday morning, they'll be forgiven you. Not tomorrow, 8 days away, okay? What would you think about that? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse, present tense, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, at that moment, then, not when, then, He takes it for granted. You confess, at that time you confess, He forgives. Isn't that something? Immediate forgiveness. Dan, will you forgive me? Or are you going to wait till next Sunday? Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Where does God forgive? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I used to think the only place you could get saved was in the church. I really did. I grew up Southern Baptist. And I thought, all I ever saw people getting saved at church, they come forward. I didn't know you could get saved at home. I thought you had to go to church, you go down the aisle, and that scared me to death. Like Dan. Dan, if you grew up Southern Baptist, you never got saved. So scared to come to the front. I was afraid. Fearful. I'm going to tell you. After I got saved, I wanted others to get saved, and I didn't know how to... I witnessed to my cousin one day. And I said, Ronnie, you want to get saved? He said, yes. And I was thinking, where's the church around here? I got to take him to church to get saved. On a bicycle. So we drove down about a mile from my house and got... And please forgive me. I took him to the United Methodist Church because that's the only church in the area. And took him inside there, got him on his knees and said, pray something. What should I pray? I didn't know what to tell him. Just pray something. Tell God you want to be saved. How do you do it? I don't know. Just tell him in my heart. I knew you're supposed to say something to God. That's a 12-year-old boy, right after I've been saved about a year or so. But I thought you had to go to a church. Folks, where do you go to confess? Come boldly to the throne of grace. That you may receive what? And grace to help in time of need. Mercy and grace to help in time of need. Boldly! Where do you go? Before God. Anywhere. In your car. I love the story of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's walking across, you know, London. We have a different idea of London and today because they had horses going back and forth all different directions and they didn't have lights like we have today. And Spurgeon was walking across the street there in London and in the middle of the street he stops and bows his head, takes off his hat and prays. When he got across the street, the Bible said to him, Mr. Spurgeon, don't you know you could have been killed out there? And Spurgeon said, I didn't want to take one more step being in God's displeasure. In the middle of the street, I suggest, though, try not here in one of these streets, okay? But I suggest anywhere you are, do the best you can. Deal with God at the moment God's dealing with you. Open your eyes, please. Immediately. That place. Where? We have one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I really like to park on this a lot. I can't. I got to keep moving. The reason I want to park on this is because Catholicism is rising its head again. And we're finding a lot of the Reformed guys are bringing in Catholic doctrines and we're accepting them. And sometimes our invitations are no more than a evangelical version of a confessional booth. Think about it. Think about it. It shouldn't be that way, should it? I mean, when you do your listen, you deal business with God. If you have prayer rooms or altar calls or whatever, I'm not against it. But whenever you have those things, they're not there to be a four-leaf clover, a rabbit's foot, or a horseshoe. And you're not doing it to appease God, folks. You do it that you might have that you might walk freely before our God, that you might humbly walk with Him. Now, we can go on more and more because there are more doctrines involved with that. So please, you just stick that in the back and think about it. Where does God forgive? Right where you are. Who will God forgive? Who will God forgive? Let me run through several guys real quick that God forgives. And I love this. And then I'll come back and finish with how does God forgive you. Who will He forgive? He'll forgive a self-righteous chicken. He'll forgive a self-righteous Nicodemus. You believe he's self-righteous? Read John chapter 3. He forgave him. How do you know? Well, you see him a little later. He's with Joseph of Arimathea helping taking him off the cross. Remember that? And he even gives a witness for him. He says, do we judge a man without? And they say, are you one of his disciples? How about the dissatisfied woman at the well? How do you know she was dissatisfied? How do you know she was dissatisfied? She had five husbands and she's working on the sixth. She couldn't get him to marry her yet, right? Well, I don't know if she's ever going to marry him or not. She's dissatisfied. And what did Jesus offer her? Satisfaction from a well that she never heard of. How about the extorting money-minded Zacchaeus? That's what businessmen always have to watch out for, right? Zacchaeus, look at that little guy up the tree there. Hey, buddy, he was a powerful man. He wasn't just a tax collector. He was one of the head honchos of the tax collectors, okay? There he is up the tree, and he says, hop, says, come down, Zacchaeus, from that today. I must abide at thy house. And Jesus goes to his house, and Zacchaeus stands up, and he makes a declaration. Remember the story? Who will he forgive? A self-righteous Nicodemus, a woman at the well. How about the sinful woman of Luke chapter 7? Not John 8, but Luke chapter 7. Who came into Simon the Pharisee's house and was crying on his feet, remember? How about the blind, ignorant man of John chapter 9? Well, how about the double-minded Peter? God forgave him. Bring it to the Christian realm. Or the dastardly David. Chapter 51 of the Psalms, or Psalm 51. Or how about, there are some people that's really upset with some of our presidents in the last 30 years. I don't know if you have any presidents that you're kind of upset with. But folks, I'm thankful that somebody didn't begin at 12 years of age and reign 55 years in the land named Manasseh in America. 55 years is a long time to have a reign. And the Bible says about Manasseh, so Manasseh made Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, and took Manasseh among thorns, and bound him with fetters, and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly before the Lord God of his fathers, before the God of his fathers, and prayed unto him, and he was entreated of him, and heard his supplication, and brought him again to Jerusalem, into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. You know what Manasseh does? He repents, and God forgave him. He couldn't undo some of the things that he did, but he forgave him. Now, how does God handle your sins? Because you're supposed to forgive the same way he forgives, right? Psalm 103, verse 12, if you want to follow with me, I'll give you four ways God handles your sins. The way you're supposed to do as God does. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. So far as the east is from the west. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. I'm talking too fast. I'll slow down. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. You want to turn there? Micah 7, 19. Micah 7, 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. First, how does God forgive your sins? He puts them as far as the east is from the west. Second, he casts them in the depths of the sea. Please forgive me. This illustration I just love so much. And sometimes when you get married, you get certain things that come along with it. Like Peter got married. He got a mother-in-law. You're reading the Bible. It says so. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. And Curtis Hudson used to say, you know what, Brother Tim? We know Peter was married because no man in his right mind would take a mother-in-law without taking a wife first. Sorry, Mrs. Whitaker. Please forgive me. I forgot the mother-in-law was in the building. He didn't tell me to say that, so he's not in trouble. I'm in trouble, okay? Don't you bother him. He's good. Okay. Can I tell you something? I forgot what I was saying. When it says here, the depths of the sea, there's a story about this guy married, and his father was a fanatic. You know what a fanatic is when it comes to a Christian? If someone gets excited about God and his promises. Matter of fact, if you open the Bible sometimes, you might even find teardrops down in their Bible because they love the Bible so much. It speaks to the heart when they're reading it. Does your Bible talk to you like that? Find marks all over it because the Word of God is jumping out at you. The fanatic. As a matter of fact, please forgive me. I know we're close to Canada up here. We found this in South Africa too, among some of those holiness people. I couldn't believe very few. Amen. We were talking about that earlier, brother. Matter of fact, amen. What's wrong with an amen? Might be super spiritual. Might be a false spirit. You know, who knows? Well, this guy here was such one of those type of guys that got excited when he read his Bible. And he said, amen. Go, and he gets, oh, Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. But the wife was a little bit more social. She had a social status. And she was going to have a Tupperware party or something like that. So she's bringing everybody in. And she said, honey, I want you to put Dad in the far room. And I want you to take his Bible from him because I don't want him to embarrass me tonight. So they put the Dad in the far room. Well, the Dad was over in the far room. Only thing he could find was, you probably don't use these, but this is what he found in his house was a stack of National Geographics. Kent Hovind calls them the National Pornographics. But anyway, he took the stack of National Geographics, stuck them over there in the room, and forgot about him. And a little while later, right in the middle of the Tupperware party, they heard, hallelujah! Praise God! Glory to God! And he's saying, she came to, where? I thought you took his Bible from him. He said, I did. So, well, what's going on in there? And ran into the room there, and there he was crying, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. And he's so excited. Dad, where'd you get a Bible from? He says, I didn't get a Bible. I was reading here in National Geographic that they found a place in the ocean where they can't find the bottom. And I was thinking about that scripture says that God put my sins in the depths of the sea. And I just couldn't help but being so glorified that God put my sins in the depth of the ocean. And they can't find the bottom. Well, for whatever it's worth, I love that story. And you know, God's done that for you too, if you're saved. As far as the east is from the west, he says in the depths of the sea, number 3, Isaiah 38 verse 17, behold, for peace I have great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. All my sins cast behind thy back. Forgive even as God, he's cast your sins. How many of you ever had your sins to bother you all day long? You ever confessed your sin all day? You confessing the same sin, confessing the same sin. Ever done that before? I'm the only guy in here who's done it. Well, there's a couple of us. You get to confessing all day and confessing, confessing. Folks, something's wrong there. If you're having to confess the same sin all day, one or two things are happening. Number one, you didn't properly deal with the confession. Or number two, the devil's riding your shoulder. And the devil is trying to tell you about it all day. And you need to understand, if God says they're cast behind his back, they're cast behind his back. And you need to take God at his word. I mean, if you dealt with it properly, guys, I'm telling you, if you confess your sins, say the same thing that God says about them, he says they're forgiven. Brother Brandon says, God, please forgive me for that. God says, for what? You know, the thing I did this morning that I confessed already, he says, what? God's It's cast behind his back, brother. And then the next verse, the last passage, the last thing I want to share with you, is he will not remember them. I even, which goes with that last illustration, I am he that, Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Jeremiah 31:34, we read that this morning. Hebrews 8:11, quoting this. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. Will I remember no more? Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. How about you? Are you forgiven like God forgives? Even as, to the same degree? Or do you kind of dangle them in front of your mate sometimes? Do you remember? And if you have a sin or if you have a problem in your home, did you confess it properly? Did you really deal with it? And if you did, if somebody else brings it back up to you, don't worry. That's their problem. As long as you did what you're supposed to do, you can't stop what they're going to say or what they're going to do. But you can go on in peace, knowing that you've done the best you possibly could before God and man. Amen? And walk in peace. Now, you have to confess some things to some people if you've done them wrong. I exercise myself having a conscious void of offense before God and man. That means I take care of the ones I've done wrong to the man, to the person I violated. Whichever way I did it, and God's promised you forgiveness. Isn't that a blessing? Brother, I like that because I need it. Do you love mercy or do you love judgment? Do you love an ogre of a God that comes out of mythology or do you love the God of the Bible who says, I've engraved you into the palms of my hands? What type of God do you have? Who is your God? Brother, His mercies are new every day. Aren't you glad? And through that you can walk with Him in joy of the Holy Ghost. And don't have to look like you're sucking on a lemon all day. Or a green persimmon, as we say down south. God bless us, please. I want mercy. How about you? Anybody want mercy? How many wants judgment? You praying for judgment? Pray for mercy. And let the mercy begin with you and say, God, make me a vessel of mercy. Hey, by the way, you won't become a liberal by being merciful. You'll understand the heart of God more. And you'll weep a little more and you'll be more gracious to people. And you'll find yourself with a greater and more powerful testimony than ever when you love what God loves. And don't tell me He doesn't love mercy. Because otherwise, how can you explain John 3:16? Father, teach us Thy way and lead us in a plain path because of our enemies. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you for your patience with me on this one. God bless you.